after placing your faith and trust in him, to then be baptized. And so Bryson made a decision to trust Christ as his Lord and Savior during VBS. And so, Bryson, I want to ask you, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. I will baptize you, my brother Bryson Stittner, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bryson's giving a testimony this morning of what we'll be talking about in just a few minutes during the sermon, is that we're to be preaching and teaching and baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And so I'm excited for what's going on in the life of this precious young man and his family and how God's at work, and just continue to pray for him in the days to come. Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us. Lord, it's your day. And Lord, as we come to worship you today, Lord, what a great opportunity to come and to have the opportunity for baptism, Lord. And we just celebrate with Bryson and his family today, Lord, thanking you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy you've extended to him. Lord, for his salvation he's received by placing his faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray for him now, Lord, as he begins this journey of faith, Lord, that you would just be with him to guide him, Lord, through your word, Lord, that he will assemble together with the body of Christ and just grow in that relationship with you and the body, Lord, each and every day. God, I pray for us, Lord, that we would continue to be faithful to seek opportunities to proclaim the truth of the gospel, and Lord, to be your witnesses here and around the world. I pray also, Lord, that as people come to faith and are baptized, Lord, that first step of obedience, we would remember that it's not over when they come to salvation. It's not over when they're baptized, but that's just the very beginning of that faith walk of faith. And Lord, that we would be there to help disciple them and teach them as we ourselves are learning about you. Lord, we thank you and praise you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
The song has been on my heart for about a year now, and I feel like the Lord has opened the opportunity to sing it, and it's really hard to get through without crying. So I really want you guys to listen to the words of this. The writer, her name is Sonia Isaacs, and she lost a baby and was really struggling with that. But the Lord spoke to her and really gave her strength through that, and gave her the words to this song. And it talks about how there are mountains in our life that we feel like we can't get through. But what if there were no mountains, and how weak and pitiful Christians we would be? And how she just fell even more in love with God through getting her through that struggle and making her stronger and a witness through that. So as we're playing this morning, I want you to think about a time where it was so difficult for you, such a struggle, and how much stronger you are, and just thankful, and how much more you love God for that.
Okay.
It's not your fault. I won't blame you, even though you didn't make the mountain move. You must have known that in time I'd get so much closer to you as I climb. Because you gave me strength when I was weak. Because you never lost your faith in me. I love you more than I did before. 'Cause when I needed you, you were there to pull me through. I love you still, though I don't understand. Without some reason.
Well, as we come to our prayer time this morning, I want to invite you to come and join me. And if you notice on the Lord's Supper table here today, we have some cards here. It's a list of names of children. We're going to be praying for our children as they prepare to go back to school and for the teachers. And, you know, as a pastor, you normally kind of pick and choose some of which ones you're going to grab and try to get an easy name. But, brother, I grabbed Thomas Demchuk's name this morning. So I'm going to be praying for Thomas. And I love Thomas. I tell you, that's one thing. I love all of our kids. But, you know, as we have Awana, as we have time to interact with them, is just each one with their different precious personalities and the way that God's created them and gifted them. And I try to spend a little time with each one of them at different times, just talking to them and asking about them and seeing what's going on in their lives. And so I want to ask, first of all, for the kids that are here, we're going to have We Church this morning. We won't have Children's Church. But if you would come forward, if you're about to start school, and just want to pray for all of our kids, to be quite honest with you, because a lot of the little ones have to get up too, and sometimes have to go to daycare, get up, go with mom and daddy to take them to school and all those things too at early hours of the morning, so that the Lord will be watching over and blessing with all. If you would, if you just come to the altar, and if you take a name, if you're going to pray for them, there's several stacks here. If you would just come and begin to commit to pray for them throughout the year as you come now. Everybody in the congregation, I'm asking you to come and pray for them. I mean, that's pretty obvious. It's like, I want adults to pray for the kids. But as you're coming too, I also wanted to say what a blessing it is to have Brother Wilson Peace here this morning. Brother Wilson had two stents put in last Monday, and he didn't know when he got up Monday morning that was going to happen, but in the sovereignty of God, he already knew that, and he watched over him and protected him and guided the hand of the surgeon. And so we're thankful for him, his recovering and recovery, and just thankful for the way God worked there. I also want to pray for Miss Martha Perry, Mr. Perry's mother, if you would keep her in prayer. Miss Lily Blackwell passed away. If you would pray for her family, that's Shelby's mother's sister, and pray for Shelby and the family. Also, for the prison team that'll be going on Saturday to Columbia, if you would pray for them. But especially today, we want to be praying for children and for the teachers. On Wednesday, we're going to be going to Mountain View to take some snacks and things. If you'd like to help with that, just see Gloria later. But just trying to get more involved in our schools. We've got some that help with Good News. We've got some that are working with Release Time. Great opportunities to be a witness, to be salt and light here in this community. And so if you would just join me in praying today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today and I thank you, Lord, for your grace that you've extended to us. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we have now just to come and to worship you openly and freely, Lord, with the freedoms we have here in America, Lord, to worship you as believers in Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use this body of believers to be salt and light, beginning in our Jerusalem here in our community. Lord, going through the schools and, Lord, through the highways and the byways. Lord, as we're out and about, Lord, that we would be salt and light to be your witness. God, I pray especially this morning for these parents with young children and that will be going back to school next week. Lord, we pray, God, that you'll be with them as they're preparing and finishing up this last week before school, that everything that needs to happen will happen, Lord, for preparation. Lord, but most excitedly, Lord, that they would go with a heart and an idea, Lord, of wanting to share their faith with those around them as followers of Christ, just like Bryson making that decision today. Lord, would you use him to be salt and light, Lord, as he has fallen through baptism today, Lord, acknowledging you as his Savior. Lord, I just pray, Lord, your will be done among our children. Lord, I pray for the teachers and the principals and, Lord, the bus drivers who will be taking some to school. And, Lord, you'll be with each of them to watch over them. Protect all of them, Lord. Give them patience. Lord, give them strength and give them wisdom. Give them a great love for these children, Lord, that it's not just a job, but, Lord, that it will be an opportunity, Lord, to make a difference in the lives of young people now and for the future. And God, I pray, Lord, as we come today, Lord, that you would just be with us as we hear your word to challenge us, Lord, to not be comfortable and complacent as Christians. But Lord, we would be reminded that just as we saw today, as that step of faith had been made in place in faith in Christ and in baptism, Lord, that's not the end. It's just the beginning of that walk of faith, Lord, that we would walk with you each and every day, Lord, proclaiming that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we just sang about. And Lord, ultimately, you'll be glorified until you return, Lord, and then even into eternity, Lord, as we worship you and we worship you in spirit and truth now and forevermore. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for coming and praying. I pray that many of you will come by even as you prepare to leave and get some of these names from kids. You can take more than one. You don't have to just take one. You can take plenty. The main thing is we just want to bathe our kids in prayer. Many of these will be in Awana, which will be starting next week as well. And so great opportunities to be that witness to our children and to see lives changing through the hearing of God's word and responding to God's word. And hopefully not only the children, but families as well. We're in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be in verses 16 through 20. And it's the last chapter of the book of Matthew. It's what's commonly known as the Great Commission. It's something a lot of you may say, I'm familiar with this scripture, these verses. But I want you to listen very closely today, and hopefully we'll all be challenged and be inspired to be obedient and to fulfill the Great Commission and going to proclaiming the message of the gospel and lives be changed through that witness and then also through that discipleship process that takes place also by living together and sharing our lives together as Christians. I want to just begin to share with you, there was a man named Michael Brady who was 36 years old. He was a stunt man for Universal Studios, and he specialized in skydiving. And so he was on set in Arizona there filming a movie in Benson, Arizona. And as they were preparing for a stunt, Michael made his leap. He was trying to leap onto a moving train for a movie, for a scene there. And as he was getting close, he missed his landing and he fell to the ground, hitting his head and dying instantly. And so as you hear that story, I hear a lot of moans and groans, but you know, that wasn't the end for him in the sense that his body was taken to the hospital and immediately he was a donor. And so his heart was taken and given to a man named Bill Wall, who was in his mid to late 50s and had been pronounced to have congestive heart failure and was in need of a heart transplant. And so while it was sad for Michael's family and tragic ending to his life here on earth, through the gift that he gave of giving his heart, and some of you are aware of being donors or those who have received those on the other end receive an organ. And so what happened was this man that was dying received a new heart and then began to live. A lot of you may be familiar with, I'm trying to think of Sam White is who I'm trying to think of, played professional football and from here in the area, lives over in Pickens now, had a similar instance there where he had a heart transplant and has had the same thing happen. But what happened with Bill Wall was an entrepreneur, businessman, type A type person. He was overweight. He was generally more concerned about making money and gaining things than he was about living life and experiencing life. And so about 6 months after Bill received this heart, he got a letter from the family of Michael Brady. And it was kind of giving him a little bit of information about how they were thankful that their son would live on through him. And they had a picture of Michael in there and kind of told a little bit about his life and some of the things that he did so that he would realize the gift he had been given. As he looked at that picture, he said, man, I looked at this strong, super athletic, physical guy. And he said, it challenged me to thank the Lord for the fact that I had received this heart, but it changed his life. He went to work part-time. He kind of backed out of a lot of things he was doing, and he got competitive in swimming and cycling and track and different events at his age. And for his age group and things, he won a lot of medals and things. But as he was being interviewed, he shared, he said, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank Michael Brady for the gift that he gave me. And every time I run and every time that I swim and everything that I do it to honor him. I give my best to honor him. And what I want to talk to you about today is a heart change. And if you're a follower of Christ, you should have already received that heart change. And that heart is not dying. It should be more alive today than it was before you came to Christ. And so with that, the challenge is to think about today. Is your heart changed and are you on fire for God? Are you excited about living every day in a way to glorify God? Are you thinking about him every day and the gift that you've received and the gift of salvation? Are you thinking about that heart change that's taking place of receiving a new heart? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I don't think I've experienced that or I can't relate to this. Well, maybe that's because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I pray for you that today you would receive a heart change, that your life would be changed. Is that today would be a day you would acknowledge your need for Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and the fact that he died for your sin and for my sin, and he rose from the grave and he defeated death and sin. And with that, he gives the hope and the promise of eternal life if we'll repent of our sin and turn to him and call upon him and ask him to forgive us and to save us. You know, as we're in the book of Matthew, Jesus' disciples, the last week or so of his life had been kind of on a roller coaster of their own. Now, if you really want to see something exciting, you can find it. Josh and Elizabeth would be glad to show you a picture of Josh on a roller coaster to see how exciting it can be. It can be terrifying at times. He screams like a girl on the video. I love him. He's not here. I wish he was here to hear that today. But what I was going to say with that, though, is their life had been on a roller coaster emotionally in the sense that Jesus had been killed. And they were in despair. And then he had resurrected. And once again, they were on that hill of joy. And then he ascended back to the Father. And once again, the reality and the soberness of it hit that, you know, he's not going to be with us physically in that way that he was before to lead us. And now we're going to have to take up the mantle of what he's given us, commanded us to do, to go and finish out the mission that he was sent for, that he called and commanded us to, and is sending us to go out on. And that's what he's doing here in this story. He has told them earlier this message to go. And so I want you to be reminded today, as he is sharing with those early disciples, he's also speaking to us. And there are three things that I hope that we learn today from this that'll challenge us in our daily walk with him to be proclaiming that message of the gospel and in making disciples. But begins in chapter 28, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, as they saw him, it says some worshiped him and some doubted. Now, you got to remember that this is the resurrected Christ who has now given them this great commission to go and proclaim the gospel before he ascended back to heaven. And so with that, he gave them that witness that he had defeated death and he had defeated sin, that he was the Messiah, he is the Lord, and that with that, all hope was in him. But you know, it says that some doubted. Now, we like to pick on Thomas, because it makes it clear that he said, unless I see him and touch his places where those scars are and touch his side, that, you know, I won't believe, after the others said they had seen him. And so he questioned, he doubted. But you know, the thing about Thomas was, is when he saw him and he said, touch me, he said, I don't need to. I believe it's you, Master. I'm going to be obedient to you. And he said, you know, some that have not seen will have, because of their faith, will do great things, but you, now that you have seen, go and proclaim the gospel, is what he was telling him. You know, and folks, we haven't seen Jesus face to face, but we have this same command that we're to go. And, you know, a lot of times we look at this and we think, well, you hear this message when they're having a commission for missionaries or somebody's been ordained as a pastor or deacons or those kind of things. Say, these are the ones that are to be going. These are the ones to be sharing the message. These are the ones to be baptizing and doing all these things and teaching. And maybe I'm not called to that, but let me just say this. through the priesthood of believers that when you place your faith and trust in Christ, all of us have been called and set apart for the ministry and the mission of sharing the gospel and making disciples of all who come to faith. And so as Jesus is speaking to them, the first thing he doesn't command them right away. He says, Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, one thing we're going to see is we're going to believe in the authority of God. If you're going to profess your faith in Christ, if you're going to be a witness for Christ, whether it's here locally, whether it's with a brother or sister, whether it's a family member or a neighbor or friend, or whether it's a coworker in the workplace, or if you're going to go anywhere else in the world and share the gospel, the reason that will cause you to do that won't just be because of your will to decide to do that. It won't be a matter that you just decide on your own to do that. It's going to be because of the authority in which you have received through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you and the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus' authority is in what we go. Now, a lot of times people may think it's kind of arrogant to think that we're called to go to a people from another country or another part of this country, or even yet to go to our neighbors and coworkers and say, if you believe in anyone or anything as God other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be separated from God for eternity and you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Even within the church, there are those that may kind of question and think, you know, I just don't know that we should do that. I don't know that, you know, that's right for us to do. Let me just say this, is what's not right is when you have acknowledged Jesus as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, as we just sang about, and he is all powerful both in heaven and in earth, and he has commanded us to go and proclaim the message of the gospel, and then we sit and say nothing. You see, Jesus is about to call us to something that's going to cost us. It's going to be going and proclaiming the message of the gospel, being his ambassador. And too often we've gotten this idea that we get saved, we get baptized, we sit on a pew, we learn about Jesus, we huddle together as a mass of believers, and we're good. Well, first of all, that's not discipleship in itself anyway. There may be some aspects of discipleship there, but that's not true discipleship. Because you see, from the very beginning, Jesus told them in chapter 4 when he called the disciples, he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So you see, from the very beginning, the plan was that everyone that was going to follow Jesus was going to be casting the net, going to be trying to capture the hearts of men by pointing them to the love of Christ. Now we know that God is the one that draws them and he's the one that saves them. But through the proclamation of the gospel, and it's not just when you're standing there preaching like what I'm doing now, but that when you're sitting with them and you're walking with them and you're talking with them, not only to your family like it talks about in Deuteronomy, but also to your neighbor, to your friends, your coworkers, that as you're living life with them, they're not only hearing from your lips scripture and the things of God, but they're also seeing that in your life lived out. That there's a difference between the way you live and the way you treat people and the way you do things than most people in the world, in the way of the world. And so we go with Christ's authority. First of all, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And let me just say this, as we were serving there in Central Asia, there were a lot of days, if it was just a matter that it had been some romanticized idea that we're going to go live in another culture and we're going to live in another land, learn another language, it's going to be this exotic trip, it's going to be this fun time, that, you know, we could have packed it in pretty quickly before we ever learned language, before we ever really got used to the culture or any of those things that even made many relationships if it had been something that we had gone on that premise. But the fact of the matter is, every time that you want to give up, every time you think, I just can't do this, every time that you begin to look at it and say, Lord, can you send somebody else or send somebody to help me, and do what you quite often want somebody to do it for you, is he makes it clear, no, I called and commanded you to go, and you are my ambassador here. You know, when you're in that workplace, sometimes you may be the only Christian there. Or, you know, you may feel that way sometimes because it seems like as you bring up anything, maybe you're treated a little differently because of your faith, because maybe a lot of them are not believers. And, you know, you may just want to think, well, I'm just not going to say anything else. I'm not going to get into any arguments with anybody about it. I'm not going to try to present anything because they're not interested and they're not going to listen. Now, let me just say this. Our responsibility is in authority and the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is to go and declare that he is Lord and he is Savior. And you know that as we accept Christ, and we were talking about this Wednesday, as we come to place our faith in Christ, a lot of times we make the statement, I've made Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. Well, personally, that's true. But let me just say this, is that he is Lord and Savior, whether you choose to accept him or not as your personal Lord and Savior. Because the scripture makes it clear too that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it's not a matter that we make him Lord. He is Lord. He is the Savior. He is the King of Kings. The question is, are we going to take that responsibility that's placed upon us as followers of Christ and then go and proclaim the message and the power and the authority of the Lord's name? And are we going to make his name known to those around us? You know, the next thing that he says is, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at this, a lot of people look at that word go and say, well, that's a verb. And you know, he's telling us to go. It's really more of a participle describing what we're to do. But the first thing as far as the action verb is that thing we hear here is make disciples. That is the word here is make disciples. That's the verb, the action verb here is make disciples. You know, the sad thing about it is in churches all around, there are people that have been followers of Christ, that have made a profession of faith, that have claimed Jesus as the Lord and Savior, been baptized, been in a church 5 years, 15 years, 50 years, but they've never become a real disciple in the sense that they've not made other disciples and reproduced. Now, I'm not saying you're not learning all these things about God, and to be a disciple means to be a learner. But what Jesus had in mind was not only are you fishing for men, but now he's saying the other part of that is to make disciples who then make disciples. And so with that, we've got to the responsibility that when we lead someone to the Lord, as we begin to share our faith and they place their faith in Christ and they fall through believers' baptism, then the next part of that process is in discipleship is we come alongside them and say, let me walk with you and talk with you and teach you more about what I've learned. Not that you know everything. You know, the thing is, sometimes that disciple has such a hunger for the word and they begin to get into the word, they begin to teach you and it works back and forth. And see, that's a good thing about being a disciple is we learn from each other. You know, I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where someone is a follower of Christ and yet they've never been baptized. But yet we live in a time where there are more and more people to say, you know, I made a decision for Christ and I'm a follower of Christ. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So at what point were you baptized? Well, I've never been baptized. Now, look, I explained to Bryce and I explained to others. Baptism does not save us. Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, our turning from our sin and acknowledging him as Lord and calling upon him to forgive us for our sin and save us. The scripture says that when we believe that in our heart and we confess it with our mouth, we are saved. But let me just say this too. It also says be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a command. And so with that, is that for those that would make a profession and not follow through, if it's been years now and you've not ever followed through with that, maybe you need to begin to examine, am I truly saved? Maybe I know who Jesus is, but I've never really committed myself to him. You know, I'll share with you, as we were there in Central Asia, there was a precious couple that we would meet in their home, and they had lived in a large city and come to faith, and they were visiting a church, and they made them go through this alpha and beta courses to learn about the Lord as part of discipleship. And then after that, they'd let them be baptized. Well, we had some conversation about that order and the way all that worked later. But with this particular couple, it had been 3 years since they had placed their faith in Christ. And when they got saved, they immediately wanted to get baptized. And the church told them, you have to finish these courses before you can be baptized. So after this time period, when we began to talk with them about baptism and ask, okay, if you've placed your faith in Christ, was there ever a time that you were baptized? And they said, it's not important. But after we did a study about baptism and showed scripturally how everyone that came to faith that was mentioned in the Bible followed in believers' baptism, they said they lived by the ocean and said, there's water, can we be baptized? So we arranged for them to be baptized. And so, folks, it's important scripturally, but it's important also in our walk of faith that we acknowledge that, as like Bryson today, that was a first step in discipleship in the sense of taking that step of faith. And how appropriate, you know, I couldn't arrange this like this. In God's sovereignty, he arranged this because we were planning on doing this earlier. And the way it worked out, today is the day that he came to be baptized. And so, you know, that we're talking about baptism. You know, the thing that you see here too is that he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'll notice here and nowhere else in the scripture, does it say my disciples can baptize, preachers are the only ones can baptize, priests are the only ones can baptize, deacons are the only ones can baptize. It's telling all of us who have come to faith in Christ, as followers of Christ, that not only are we to be witnessing for him and proclaiming the message of the gospel, but that when someone comes to faith, it's our responsibility to encourage them and to try to help them, to facilitate for them to have that opportunity to be baptized. And it's also okay that if someone baptizes someone and they're not a preacher. I mean, we've seen that in multiple cases around the world. And, you know, as I think about that, you know, one of the things I do see more of, though, is that ladies tend to maybe baptize ladies and men tend to baptize men. But it's perfectly okay for a father to baptize his children. I baptized my children. And at that time, I was not a minister of the gospel. And with that said, you know, it's a matter that I have to be a follower of Christ. I have to have already taken that step of obedience and baptism myself. I have to be demonstrating a walk and a life that exemplifies Christ. And then as I do that, then you're free to then turn around and baptize also. But he tells them that we are to be baptizing as a means of discipleship and that step of obedience. Because as Bryce and I talked about and I talked with others is, look, it doesn't save you, but it's that first step of obedience, and you're identifying as Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And you're giving a witness and a testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and you're not ashamed of him, and you identify with that death, burial, and resurrection, and the only way you're saved is by acknowledging him as Lord, as Savior, and calling upon him to save you. And so the next thing that we look at is that not only are we to go, and as he talks about going there, he's talking about sharing the word. Now, I said sharing, not preaching. And the reason I'm saying that, because some of you get hung up in the word, even when you hear these preachers use this big Greek word, and it's talking about preaching or proclaiming the gospel. Let me just say, what he's saying is in your everyday life, you should be sharing the message of the gospel with people around you. Person to person, individual to individual, saying, let me tell you about my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. Let me tell you what he's done since I've given my life to him. And sharing that testimony of salvation. Sharing the fact he didn't just die for you. He didn't just die for me, but he died for all to have that opportunity. And so as we're doing that, we're sharing the word as we go. And as they come to faith, we baptize them. And then the other thing he says also is that we are to teach. It says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Now, some of you are going to say, I'm not ready to be a teacher. I'm not gifted to be a teacher. But let me just say this. For your own children, as you were teaching them how to put a fork in their hand and begin to feed themselves, or how to hold a cup and drink that cup, as you were teaching them how to dress themselves as they were young, as they were babies, and you were trying to show them as they were getting to be toddlers and learn some of these things so that by the time they get ready to school, like next week, is that you get them up and you help them get up, but their clothes are laid out and they can dress themselves, that you're not still dressing them at 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, 10 years old. Well, let me just say this. If you can do those things, you can teach God's word, because it's that simple, in the sense that you don't have to know everything in detail. You just need to go to the word and share the word together and walk through it together. And listen, just be honest enough. You know how many kids ask the hardest questions, and they always ask when you tell them something, they say, why? Why? Why does this work like this? Why is this like that? You know, and you're sitting there thinking, well, maybe I know somehow it works, but I'm not sure I can explain it even on that level. You know, sometimes you're going to get asked questions. You're going to say, you know what? Maybe I don't have the answer to this, just like you would your kid. Maybe I can't explain something, but can we look together And can we maybe go to someone if we need to and get some help? And you see, the fear a lot of times Satan tries to put in your mind is that you're going to get asked those kind of questions and people are going to laugh at you and think, man, you're an idiot. You don't know anything. You're supposed to be this follower of Christ and you don't know the answer to this question. Let me just say this. We don't know everything about God, and we won't know everything about God until we're with God. He explains himself to us in so many ways and expands our understanding to be able to comprehend that. You see what I'm saying? Is the Spirit is our teacher, and the Word is is where we go to learn about God. But there's things there that we can't explain and know fully about God. And you say, well, then how can I be a teacher? You know, teachers teach subjects a lot of times that they don't know everything and every detail about. And it's sometimes out of necessity. You know, and the thing about it is, it may be that way in your life when you're trying to disciple someone, is that you don't have someone else, maybe that you work with, there's you're meeting there on your lunch hour or meeting after work or before work to spend time and trying to teach them and encourage them, and you're not able to get together a lot afterwards where you can meet with a third person or someone to try to help in that area. So you go and find out information about how to answer that question for them, and you come back to them. It's a simple matter. And so Jesus is saying that we're to be teaching the things that he has commanded us and observing them, all that he's commanded us, meaning his word first and foremost. But you know, as we think about that, we learned that we can believe on the authority of Christ, that we can obey the command of Christ, and that we can depend on the presence of Christ. You see, the thing that they were afraid of, that had them really kind of concerned to begin with, is that Christ had died and he was ascending back to the Father. And so he wasn't going to be right there with them, and he wasn't going to be where they could turn and ask him a question and then share with somebody, or they could come back and ask him in that way like they had in the years past. That he was not going to be walking ahead of them, leading them where they were going to go, in the sense of them seeing him like they had before. And so really, folks, the story that we're reading today, the text we're reading about today, what's so neat about it is it's not something we read about and think, well, you can say, well, that was just that group of people. Because that command is to all of us who come after them to continue the work that he has called them to, of proclaiming the message of the gospel and making disciples. And so for all of us, we're a part of this text in that sense, in the fact that it continues on today until Christ returns. And so as we're looking at it too, notice what it says is when you read early on in Matthew, it says there that and a virgin will be pregnant, and she will bear a child, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And the last thing that Jesus closes with here is this. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Matthew adds, amen. That's it. And you see, a lot of times we think we're going to go and do things, even when we feel like we're doing them for God, that we're doing them ourselves, or there's no one helping us, or we're alone. You're never alone when you're serving God. He is with you at all times. He called you. He's going to equip you. He has sent you, and he is going to help you with everything that needs to be done to fulfill his will and his mission that he's called you and sent you on. And so with that, we have no excuse and no reason not to be about the things of the Father's business and proclaiming the message of the gospel. The question today is, why is it that so many of us have never shared our faith with someone? Why is it that so many of us can look around and say, you know, in all my years as a Christian, I can't really think of anybody that I've sat with and taught with and that I've made a disciple, just went and shared their faith and then help make a disciple. You know, the thing a professor asked us when we were at seminary, he said, who are you discipling now? And who do you have plans to disciple next? You know, when you think about it, it should be somebody that you've already built a relationship. Maybe it's a new believer that you're working with or live near, or those opportunities like that where you can begin that relationship of making a disciple. But as you're making that disciple, you also need to be thinking about, who can I also be thinking about that I can share my faith with? And if they come to faith, I can continue with this relationship, but I can start a new relationship and help you make a disciple of this person. But let me just say too, you can't make a disciple if you're not being discipled yourself. It's important that every one of us be in a situation where we are learning God's word and that we're in a group setting of some sort where that we are gathered together as the body of Christ, where there's some accountability to the Lord and to one another, where that there's someone that we can go to that can help us with that accountability as we need it, that can encourage us, that walk alongside us. You know, as Trav and them were talking about starting small groups on Tuesday at the Caps home, that is part of the prayer that we're praying for, is that many would want to come and end up multiplying in multiple small groups. I'm already in the process of talking with some of them at North Greenville about trying to do that with students, and not just so we can get students here. But let me say this. If we just sit around thinking that somebody's just going to walk up and just say, hey, I've just trusted Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Would you disciple me? I'm a pastor, and rarely does that even happen. And so it's not something we sit back and wait on. It's something we're out pursuing and looking for, is that we're growing, and then we're trying to tell someone, and then we're trying to help make disciples of those who come to faith. And so with that, there's opportunities for you to plug in and be a part of a small group where that you can be challenged, you can grow, that maybe you can then begin to pour into somebody else's life through that. And I pray that we'll multiply those numbers, not just for numbers' sake, folks. I mean, yes, it's important. There's a whole book of Numbers, and the Lord makes it clear that every soul is important to him that he sent his son to die for. But with that said, is that we're not trying to say, hey, you know, we're going to give some numbers to the convention or to our association and brag about what we're doing, anything like that. What we're talking about is making a difference in lives and souls for eternity. Because as we talked about last week, as we multiply in the spread of the gospel, rather than just one goes here and one goes there, but we're going out, because you realize this command was, just as all of you who follow me will be fish, I'll make you fishers of men, is that also all who follow him are supposed to be disciples and making disciples. And so with that, that's everyone is to be involved in that. And so we all have an opportunity, we all have a responsibility to be a part of that. I pray that as the Lord is working in your heart and your life today, if you've realized I've never experienced that heart change, there's going to be a time of invitation in just a second here. And I want to invite you to come to Christ and first of all, give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I acknowledge him as my Lord and my Savior, and I've asked him to save me, and I want to commit my life to him and live my life for him. Maybe you're here and you're just saying, you know, I received that life change, but it's kind of like I've gone back to being like old Bill Wall over there. I've just been kind of type A that's more worried about the things of the world and worried about pleasure and comfort and all those things, instead of being like Michael Brady, who was attacking the things of the world and just active and on fire, doing things to try to make a difference, and made a difference in this man's life. Maybe you just need to say, hey, Lord, would you just give me a revival of heart? Would you just change my heart back to the way you created it to be, in a sense, since I've come to faith in you? Would you draw me close to you again, and in that intimacy, in that closeness, that relationship, I want to be on fire telling people about you. And whatever way God's working in your life, I invite you to come to him this morning. Let's pray. If you would, just stand. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for each one that's here, Lord. It's no accident that we're here today, Lord, to hear your word. And Lord, especially to hear this challenge today to all of us, Lord, that we need that heart change. And once we receive that heart change, Lord, that we should be running about doing the business of the King, Lord, and fulfilling the responsibilities and the call and the command that you've given us, Lord. And with that, Lord, thinking about those around us and thinking about those who have not heard, and what a blessing it's been to us, as we should be praising you, acknowledging you each and every day, thanking you for saving us, for our salvation. But Lord, not just thanking you for our salvation, but Lord, being reminded of the responsibility that comes with that. Lord, the blessing of that responsibility is that there are those who have not heard. And Lord, that you have called and commanded us to go and proclaim that they might hear. And Lord, may we be faithful and obedient, not only to trust you as Lord and Savior, not only to follow through in baptism, but to preach and teach and to baptize in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. May you receive all glory. Lord, please come. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. As God is speaking to your heart, this altar is open. You can come at any time. If you want to come and give your life to the Lord, I'll be glad to talk to you about that. You can just come and pray.